Well, it's been quite a morning already. Happy Mother's Day, all of you mothers out there. I was going to go to Hallmark and buy you guys a card, but then I discovered that you guys wouldn't be able to see it really from where you're sitting, so I decided to make you one instead in true fashion. And so here's my Mother's Day card to all of you. Happy Mother's Day to all the ones who discovered 101 uses for spit. You know who you are. If you're a mom, or if you are a mom and you're anything like my mother, you've learned that spit cleans off dirty faces. Doesn't matter what's stuck on there. It's good for getting colics and hairs to lay down. Maybe you shouldn't do that to your kid. It's a sanitizer. It cleans off pacifiers. I mean, MacGyver would be proud of the things that you guys do with spit. You know, mothers, you guys are definitely the MacGyvers of the world. You guys use ordinary things around you to do extraordinary things. And my mom was not limited to spit. I remember one time when I was outside playing in the snow. I was tired and ready to come in because my feet were freezing. They were wet. My shoes, my boots were not waterproof. My mom says, "I can fix that." So my mom runs off into the kitchen. I thought maybe mom was hiding a new pair of boots for me. But no, lo and behold, mom goes into her stash of supplies. And there she has some old bread bags that she proceeds to put over my socks, slaps my shoes on, and says, "There you go, you're good to go." MacGyver 101. Now, my mom would be proud because a few years ago, I went on the Fifi's trip, and my boots were not waterproof yet again. You'd think I would learn. And by the second day, I was desperate to have dry feet because, I mean, it was raining every single day. It was cold. I was surprised the ice was off the lakes. And I was getting desperate, looking for something I could do to keep my feet dry. And what did I do? Didn't have any bread bags. I was on the fishing trip. But I did have a garbage bag for all of my dirty clothes. So guess what I did? I ripped it in two, shoved my feet in there, and I had dry feet the rest of the week. Thank you, Mom. I'm willing to guess that your mom was pretty creative and ingenious as well. I know my mom used to make clothes for us when we were younger. And that goes back even farther than that. I mean, my grandma used to make clothes for her daughters, and that was back when they didn't have a whole lot of money. And so rather than buying cloth at the fabric store or whatever, they used feed bags to make the clothes out of. Man, ingenious. My mom likes to make pallets on the floor. What is your mom? What did she do? Moms, they're amazing. So happy Mother's Day. You know, this week I was getting ready for this sermon, and I was trying to figure out what all we're going to talk about, and I had an urge. I had a feeling in my body that I need to make a run for the border. You know, go find the fourth meal, Yo Quiero Taco Bell. I'm sure you guys have all had the need and the desire to get some food, and Taco Bell was either your preferred choice or maybe it was just the closest place that was still open. And as a matter of fact, you can ask Naomi, I took off and I went over to Taco Bell one day for lunch. And I discovered something, I was reminded of something when I went to Taco Bell. When you go to Taco Bell, there's a few things you expect, don't you? You expect the food to be cheap, the service is going to be so-so, and you're probably going to be in the bathroom about 20 minutes later. One thing you don't expect to see at a Taco Bell is a wedding. But there was one that happened there. Paul and Carla, they started meeting over the internet and started dating. And actually quite a few of their dates went to Taco Bell at the end of them. And so they figured their relationship was kind of got off on an unusual foot to begin with. And so what? Why not have the wedding in just an unusual place? Taco Bell. And so that's what they did. Can you imagine sitting there eating your chalupa, slurping down your Baja Blast, and then next door to the next booth over there is two people getting married? That's about enough to make me snore Baja Blast out my nose. they definitely broke up the routine for a lot of people when they had their marriage, or had their wedding there at Taco Bell. And I gotta admit, you know, breaking up our routine is a good thing. Okay, maybe not where we eat lunch. That's maybe not as big of a deal. But breaking up the routine within our life, within our spiritual life, is a really big deal. You know, when we come to church in the morning, if we're not careful, we find ourselves with the same type of expectations as we have when we go to Taco Bell. There's things that we expect, that we look forward to. You know, you pull in, and you probably sit in about the, or you probably park in the exact same parking spot just about every single week, don't you? Mm-hmm. I do. You walk in, and you expect to see the same people. You expect to sing certain songs. You expect to get out of here by like 9:20 if somebody doesn't talk too long. Sure. I'm just kidding. Actually, Sherm does a better job of keeping on his time than the rest of us do. Why are you laughing, Brian? But we expect to be out of here by 9:20. We expect to see the same people in our Sunday school classes. We expect to even drink our same cup of coffee. And we have our expectations when we come here. But God doesn't want us just to live in a life of routine. He wants us to live a life where there's interruptions. When we are ready for him to break in and do something different, to make a change. I think God wants us to move from routine to revival. How weird would it be if the churches across the United States start experiencing revival? Revival, what's revival? Revival is simply new life. New life in you, and new life in those who are around you, experiencing God daily. What would it be like if revival took place in our churches across America? It would be kind of as unusual as seeing a wedding at Taco Bell right now, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well, this journey from moving from routine to revival, it starts with allowing God to break in. Allowing God to come in and do something different with our life and not let us resist or close our eyes to it. And today we're going to be looking at a prophet from the Old Testament. His name was Isaiah. So if you got your Bible, go ahead and open it up. And I'm a bad preacher today. I didn't look it up in the Pew Bible. So if somebody next door to you or sitting next to you or front behind you can't find it, help them out. Okay? We're a nice group of people here. We help each other. Isaiah, and you can find Isaiah chapter 40. You see, Isaiah is a book that's written in a very simple model, the good news, bad news model. Or actually, in Isaiah's book, it's actually the bad news, good news version is what it is. He tells the country of Israel all the bad news. And here's the bad news. They've turned their back on God. They've walked away from them. They got stuck into their routines, making life as simple as possible, doing the things that they like, and they turned their back on God. And they were experiencing consequences for that. Their nation was shrinking. And unfortunately, that wasn't the end. Isaiah said that judgment was coming. 39 chapters from the prophet of the Lord coming to give bad news. If I was sitting there listening to Isaiah talk about all the bad news that was coming, I'd feel kind of hopeless. 39 chapters. I can't even handle an email of bad news. 39 chapters. And that's what sets all this up. 39 chapters of struggle, of judgment. And yeah, there was a few little glimpses of hope and good news in there, but not a whole lot. But chapter 40 starts the other half. It starts the good news. And and as we read that, I want you to pay attention. And rather than just reading the Bible the way that we always read the Bible, how about we read the Bible and we expect something to God, expect God to do something with it, okay? Oh, man, I lost my page. There we go. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. You know, after 39 chapters of being told that it's all doom and gloom, I appreciate those words, comfort. Not only does he say it once, but he says it twice, so he gets everybody's attention. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim her that her service has been completed, and that her sins have been paid for, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. By the way, Isaiah gives a lot of prophecies in here. And a lot of the prophecies that we find in his book point us to the Messiah, the coming of Jesus Christ. And although that's the majority of the prophecies, what we're about to read is a prophecy, but it's not about Jesus. It's about John the Baptist, the one who's going to come before him. Let's see what Isaiah says in verse 3. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain, every hill be made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all of mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. First 39 chapters, bad news. Beginning of chapter 40, good news. Comfort. The judgment is over. You've paid for the sins doubly. And not only that, but he says expect something. Prepare the way for the Lord. Isaiah is challenging us to prepare our lives for God to break in. Pursue the one who is pursuing us. I brought a few things up here. And the card was going to be small. These are minuscule. Can you see it? This is why you should sit in the front. It's a seed. And the seed is the quintessential picture for hope. Expectations, isn't it? Although it is tiny, a seed can grow into a tree that will bear fruit for season after season, feeding all those who are around it. So much potential packed in something so tiny. So as we talk about expecting something, keep this idea of a seed in your head. See, the problem is that many of us don't expect the wrong things, expect God to do the wrong things. Let me rephrase that. The things that we expect of God aren't necessarily wrong. What happens is, a lot of the times, we just don't expect anything at all. That's where our routines come into play. I do this, they do this. And when we don't expect anything, we're not ready when God breaks in. We miss out. We have our heads down. And here are the Israelites who have just suffered years of hardship, of bad leaders, evil kings. They've had their freedom taken away. And in this horrible state, God says, I'm coming to break in. I'm coming to make a change. No matter what's going on in your world will not stop God from breaking into your life. No matter what we're going through, no matter what difficulties we're struggling with, what addictions you have in your life, whatever sins you have been struggling to break away from, or difficult relationships, nothing will stop God from being in our life. but we need to prepare. We need to pursue the one who is pursuing us. The next thing that the scripture tells that we should do is we need to make a straight path in the wilderness for the coming of the Lord. What does that mean? Well, how do you prepare for God to intervene in your life? Number one, you open up your eyes. Number two, you try to clean out the junk, the things that distract us. Is worry something that is you find yourself struggling with? Worrying about the bills, about your kids, about school? There's a lot of things that divert our eyes from God and his plan and from God working in our lives to the point where we miss it. We need to prepare to see him. You know, the fact is that all of us, we got to do things that we don't like to do, right? What I'm amazed at is the word adult is now a verb. It used to be that you grew up and you were an adult. Now I hear my friends talking about, I don't feel like adulting today. They just want to lay around, no responsibility, not have to do the things they know they should do. Fact is, we all got to do things we don't want to do. My students, a lot of you guys had your ACTs just recently. It was something you guys were really worried about, you were struggling about, you really didn't want to do it quite yet. But it needed to be done. You guys have finals, end-of-year testing coming up. How many of you guys are looking forward to that? That's what I thought. But they're not the only ones. We got to get up and go to work every morning, don't we? We've got to have tough conversations that we'd sometimes rather avoid. What are the things that are hard for you to do? I'll share with you one of mine. One of my more difficult things to do is to step back and step away and take a break. I love my calling in ministry. I love serving and working with our youth, working with you, seeing growth happen. I love it. It's been a huge blessing on my life and in my family's life. And so I have a hard time walking away and taking a break. I also have a hard time with it because I'm the only student minister here. So when I go to take some time off, I got to work twice as hard beforehand to get things set up, and I have to work twice as hard when I get back to catch up. And sometimes, I'm quite honest here, I find myself asking the question, is it worth the effort? Now, I may sound strange to some of you because I have a hard time stepping away from work, but you know, you all have strange things that you have difficulty doing. So we're all strange. But last summer, I knew that a time was coming up that I was going to have some extra things on my plate. And coming up very soon, helping out with the worship ministry in the short term. And so I took a week. I said, I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to take some time off before it starts to get really crazy. Christine was just starting home daycare, so unfortunately she was not able to go. And so I decided, you know what? I'll take a trip with Elizabeth. The two of us will go to Colorado. Maybe I can catch a break and just get a little bit of rest if I'm lucky. And so I was not prepared for what was about to happen. I was not expecting what God was going to do. I mean, 20 hours in the car with your daughter, you have some pretty amazing conversations in there. Things you can never plan for, things that you would never expect. I never expected that as we were hiking, that we would have this shared experience of gasping for oxygen as we've only walked about 200 yards at 11,000 feet. Never forget it. I'll never forget, I never would have expected that we would stay up till almost 3 o'clock in the morning at about 10,000 feet, sitting in a field, miles away from any city, and hearing the coyotes howl all around us in the valley that we're in, so we can see shooting stars in the crystal clear sky, and seeing somewhere between 30 and 40 shooting stars an hour. Never would have expected that. If I didn't do something hard, I never would have experienced it. Breaking out of our routines is really hard. But a life of revival, where God is working in us, working in those who are around us, is most definitely worth the effort. God wants us to take this trip to move from routine to revival. And the only way that's going to happen is if we live a life of expectation. And among Christians, we call that living with a posture of hope, where we are in the position where we are looking and ready for God to intervene. Do you live your life that way? Do you walk into every conversation expecting God to do something with that conversation? Or each day when you go to work? Or when you come to church? We're creatures of habit. We like routine. But God, he's a supernatural God. God is the ultimate MacGyver. He takes ordinary situations, sometimes downright bad and horrible situations, and he works miracles out through that. You don't believe me? You ask anybody who has had to deal with addiction, abuse, difficult relationships. Our God is the God of miracles. And Mother, I don't want to take anything away from you because you guys do amazing stuff with your spit and other things. But what God does, even when we think that nothing can happen for the good, God shows up. God breaks in. So are you prepared? I hope so. I'm going to ask our students to come on up to get raised to lead us in a song. I don't know where you are at with your walk with God, but I want you to live a life of expectation, a life of hope, that God is going to come in and he is going to do something in your life. What's holding you back? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing, and Sherm's going to be down front. If you don't have the hope of God in your life, I encourage you to come and talk to him. If there's some sin or something that's holding you back, something that is blinding you from seeing God at work in your life and in the work of others, I encourage you to come up and talk to him and pray with him. Let's stand as we pray together. Father, we are... God, I gotta admit, I'm ashamed at the times when all I see is the problems in front of me, the struggle ahead, and I don't look for how you're trying to break in and help. Father, we want to be your children where we walk daily with you. And that is an active life of us working together in concert with you, growing in you, sharing your blessings with our family here and with the world who so desperately needs you. Father, break in. Break into our lives. Help us to find a new life. Help us to have revival. Not only for ourselves, but for our family, for our church, for the city, and for your world. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.